Welcome to Category Leaders, where we go inside the minds of executives and innovators shaping the future of B2B growth. I'm Eli Grisserfidi, co-founder of Maya Digital, where we help B2B companies and executives build LinkedIn authority and drive life-changing opportunities. On this podcast, I sit down with founders, CEOs, and C-level leaders who are redefining their categories, the innovators turning executive presence into pipeline growth, competitive advantage, and market leadership. If you are a decision maker looking to scale your influence, attract top talent, and position yourself as the go-to voice in your industry, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome to Category Leaders. Today I'm joined by Matt Kovacs. He is the founder and president of Blaze PR. Thanks for being with us today, Matt.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to chatting.
Yeah, me too. So let's get started. I'd love to hear a bit more about yourself, your journey, and really what led you to found and establish Blaze PR.
Sure. Yeah, I think my background is really in marketing communications. Had worked previously in more retail side, so with Levi's and then Lids, the hat retailer. So was able to learn, again, really from the customer side and understanding that journey. And then with Blaze, really looked at it as continuing those conversations into the side where you're really being a shepherd and a consult to brands. And looking at it in that regard of really the challenger brand category, brands that are two or three in their space, their budgets need to work a little harder. But looking at it from a PR / marketing point of view, a lot of that, when we look at it even against other agencies we go up against or that agencies that are currently out there, sometimes they have more of that publicist mentality where it's just coverage for coverage's sake. And we look at it as, okay, what can PR do now to really amplify and then be a part of the marketing journey for a brand, as well as so much of the results become content. LinkedIn, on your social medias, really there's a second life for a lot of these than previously was you had the article, you had that sort of dopamine high for a couple days, maybe a week, and then it was on to the next thing. And now it's how do we utilize this in a way that can really help brands?
Okay. So tell me a little bit more about what you're seeing in the space of public relations. You've been a leader for many years. You've seen a lot of different types of brands and stages. How do you see the role of PR evolving now? All the change, especially with AI, geo, and all of that world. What are you seeing?
Totally. Yeah. I think what's interesting is, and I've told this story before of recently, growing up in PR, your first job was to make friends with all the actual journalists. You'd hang out with them, you go to the bars, you like understood them, they understood you. You really helped that sort of relationship because they were looking for opportunities, you were looking for placements. And also in times of bad, those relationships could help. If there was a crisis or if something was coming, you were able to navigate that. And then obviously then, if you look at it, bloggers showed up and all of a sudden you have all these online media reporters that no one knew how to handle or what they were and who was even reading them. And that evolved more to the digital online and more of that credibility. And then you get into influencers and podcasts and all that. So it's really evolved through the years. And what we've tried to do and what I do, again, you want to stay in that mix. You don't want to feel like, oh, we only do broadcast and print media because that is shrinking more and more every day. So it's really expanding that, understanding with our team, we really had to stay on top of that, how to make those sort of virtual introductions now and build those relationships. But we're seeing more, and especially in Southern California, more and more of the networking opportunities, the media meetups, all those things that I've really had success with in the past, and I'm trying to share and mentor my team to do more of those because you do get the opportunity to meet people in that regard. And I think to your point about AI, it's been really interesting. If we talked about this last year at this time, it was the doom and gloom of the PR industry that AI is going to take over. Someone will just have them kick out a press release. It'll go to media and then eventually media is just going to be AI. So you're going to have this echo chamber of just them playing ping pong with data and information. But as the year went on, it was more about, okay, how do we navigate this? How do we really take control of this? And now the press release has had this just rebirth, if you will, of importance because as AI scrapes the internet, looks for information, the press releases that have the really good high domain authority are helping to craft and build that narrative around brands, stories, people, because that's what AI is doing. But if you look a year ago, if you put in a search of a brand X and it would tell you all this sort of misinformation, old information would be just grabbing what it could. It's, yeah, we look at it as this evolution now of having press releases, not just for press release sake. Obviously, it still has to have news and have content, but it's a way that this can be an important tool again in a way that it really helps brands, be it on the reputation side. It could be more so on those updates, quarterly successes, and what's going on in some of those aspects that make sense. Because otherwise, you're competing not only against AI, but then obviously the other search engines. So this is a way to bring that to life. And I think we're all still learning all the time of the best ways to utilize it, and as there's more and more searches. Last year would have been, oh, what's it's interesting, ChatGPT, but now it's like everything and using those in a way that makes sense. And then also what we always try and do is educate the client, the customer, if you will, why this is important, how they could be using AI in their worlds, and even with the SEO, GEO, like what that means for them and how this all changes. And we try and be a really great partner, not only to the client, obviously, but to the other agencies. To how can we work together? What are those things that can be done that help? A, maybe it's generate content, if it's to generate those narratives of whatever the campaigns are and have those sort of aligned, even just from a wordsmithing standpoint. And I think those are things that have really, I think, really dedicated ourselves into that space to make sure that we're relevant and also being true to the client and true to the, again, the language overall.
Yeah. So you mentioned how it used to operate more traditional PR and like where the things you guys are doing today. How does that look like? What should brands be doing more? How does a brand essentially build trust today? Where do they need to be? What do they need to do?
I think it's interesting too, because internally of a brand, you have maybe the oldsters that are in command that are running things, and they still view it in many ways. That's part of the education factor of, oh, I want to be in the LA Times, or I need to be on TV, or those things. So obviously, those are important to a certain demographic. If you're reaching maybe boomers or Gen X that are still navigating that media landscape. So we'll look at that. But I think also so much of it is a digital world and so many brands sell direct. We look at it as, okay, the importance of coverage in digital spaces, because that's one click away for you to then purchase. And same thing if it's in the TikTok shop or if it's influencers that can give out codes and affiliates around that. So I think that's an important factor. The other thing is that from the trust and the earned media third-party validation, that's where some of the traditional media still makes sense. You look at the trades are still hyper important in many categories, almost from a B2B standpoint, because retailers and buyers, that's still where they can go and understand what's happening in the beverage category, the food category, CPG. Where are the brands coming? Who are some of those thought leaders? So we really try and utilize that as a key marker because they can help narrate and navigate that as well. And then again, as the online media is maybe not as experienced, or it's journalists with a lowercase j of, okay, they're writing. But the trades really help validate those things and say, okay, yeah, that if Beverage Digest, BevNet, if they're writing about this brand, yes, there's something that I should be writing about too, so that I'm not behind the times and just only writing about, again, the top three brands or like trends in kombucha or whatever it is. It's more about how you can be a more well-rounded reporter, if you will. And I think we try and help build those types of things. And we talk about inherently media are curious. But on some level, they're also lazy. So it's if we can showcase and use media coverage to share with another reporter to say, hey, this is happening, just showing you the way it's being covered. There's some interesting points here. We could send you product to test, review, but just so you see how these things are connected. And I think that's been an important strategy because of the aspect of there's less and less time as well. So if I can give someone, here's a great pitch, here's some other sort of coverage so you can see how it's being viewed at and how you can take a different angle. We're helping them to close that gap, and then that can help build that. And those are things that have been successful over the past, really, again, plus years, but over this past year, we can point to a number of opportunities that that's really how it came to be.
Nice. I think I saw recently you were recognized as a top brand strategist of 2025. So that must be exciting for the agency as well. You mentioned the larger agencies and how you guys are different from them in the industry. So what are the key things that you guys are really focusing on?
Yeah, I think what's interesting too is that over the past, let's say, 2 or 3 years, we've won Best Places to Work in not only LA Business Journal, so for obviously the local elements, but then PR Week recognized us as well. So I think we look at it as, and it's something I've learned and tried to instill in the team, is that sort of culture first sort of mentality. We're still a hybrid workplace. Obviously, you're in the office, but even when you're in the office now, you're still on Zooms and you're doing stuff. So it's an interesting play there. But I think we look at it as from the newbies that come in, all the way through the team that's been here. We have two offices. We have about almost 20 people. How do we really connect those things and make sure the culture is being built? So some of it can be a little bit of, we have the team lunches, lunch and learns, So at least you're together that way. But we try and do external things as well. Go to the different, like I talked about, the networking events together, or if we go to a sporting event or an event in LA, those things can be really interesting. And I think that helps, again, obviously to buy in and make people feel like they're part of a larger team and understand the complexities and all those types of things. So that's very different than obviously pre-COVID. And I think the other thing we try and do is look at it empowering the team. So there's not a lot of, I'll say, drama or micromanaging. It's about let's look at the shared thoughts. And colleges now, they teach you the blocking and tackling and the basics of PR, but there's so much more involved in even just client relations. It's the human element that as people get on board and as the kids learn through it, you might be having the greatest day, or these placements, and you get on a call or a Zoom with a client. They might have just been chewed out by the board. They might have all these other issues. So it's how you navigate that, but also how you make those connections and relationships. And I think that's an important factor. Much like the relationships with media, it's the relationships with your client to understand, again, birthdays, anniversaries, the simple things that go a long way. But then also it's sharing the successes, knowing that they have stakeholders and other people they report to. How do we package all these different PR elements? It can be a deck, it can be one sheet, whatever it is, to share with them so that they can send it around and say, hey, here's what we're working on. Here's what Blaze and us are doing together as a partner. And I think those are aspects that we've had a number of brands say, this is super helpful because not only, again, educating them and obviously executives, but also other team members internally for them to say, what do you guys do? And you can say, look, here, you read about us or you saw us. This is how it happened. It didn't just magically, someone reported and wake up one day and say, hey, I want to write about you, that there's an element to it. And I think those are things that we try and connect. And then the other thing we do, we start any brand, we do a media perception audit. And what we try and do, we have other partners that do this, they do more focused interviews for public affairs. So we said, wait, why couldn't we use this and adapt it for media? So we put together with our clients, here's a list of maybe 10 questions. Client approves them. We go out and we interview media and say, okay, you're out there. You're being pitched 100 times. You're spammed, whatever you want to call it. What's going on? Here's some questions. We can talk about it on the phone. You can just reply back with some answers. But trying to get a baseline of what they're seeing and doing. And it's really interesting because PR is always that weird gray area. Okay, how does it work? It's brand building, but there's a call to action, but you can't measure it. It's not like advertising. So this audit really, I think, separates us when we meet with clients. They're like, wow, that's different, interesting. Because clients are in the bubble. They think they know what's going
What are
on.
some of the
Right?
things you learned there? It sounds super interesting. What are some of the things
Yeah,
you've learned?
you'll learn some it's again basics, how they want to be pitched, what their schedules are like, what they're working on currently. But what we try and get through as we peel through it is, okay, what are you really seeing? What's going on in the category? What are you hearing from retailers and buyers? What are you hearing in a way that's interesting for us to understand as we pitch you that it's going to make sense and it's going to resonate with you? If you're looking for a lot of data, then that's helpful. We can put together different aspects of data. If they're looking for more executive thought leadership because they want to see what the top tops are doing and how they're viewing, be it the year or through each quarter, those things really are insightful. So I'm not pitching you about everything all the time because that becomes spamming and that becomes annoying. But if I say, hey, and again, this whole audit is a little bit of a Trojan horse because we're talking to these people, but we know we're going to go and pitch them anyway. And it opens the door already to say, hey,
It's
remember
like a
us.
discovery. Yeah, it's a discovery. You're getting to understand what they need so that you can come back and give them exactly what they need.
Yeah. And when we do it, we say, hey, remember we talked earlier and you gave us how you like to be pitched. And then, that light bulb goes on and say, yeah, this is great. I haven't heard from you. And we say, yeah, because you said you didn't want to be hit every release. So those are aspects that come through. And then we put a whole deck together for brands. But I think that's a good narrative and a difference maker for us.
Nice. You mentioned executive thought leadership. Tell me more about that. Like, how do you see that today? There's founder-led growth, executive-led growth, and a lot around like the people. We call it at our agency for the work that we do with our clients, we really see people-led growth. All right. There's the typical brands and the logos and then more of the people behind it. So it's not only the founders, we also see with the employees. But I love to hear your perspective on an executive presence and where it should be done, how it should be done.
I think what we've done through the years, and I think what's really resonated is getting to like the philosophies of the executives. What do they think? How do they approach this job, this business? And I think that's been really interesting for media, like a CEO Weekly. They want to know what's going on, why is this person different, and how are they viewing these different revolutions, be if it's tech at different places that aren't expected, like at a convenience store, what's the technology that's going on? And what are your philosophy of how you're going to attract new customers? Or if it's a shoe manufacturer, what are you doing to differentiate? There's how many different types of shoes and aspects around there, but what are those elements? And I think that thought leadership approach really gives them the platform to feel like, to your point, they can speak more on the people side in the thought-provoking elements and not have to worry about the brand so much on that stuff. Obviously, the brand is their shepherd through this, but they can really speak to what they've learned and what they're doing and how they implement it as well, because that's an important factor. Is you can have all these great ideas and really speak to it, and we're going to do this and this. And again, who goes back at that level unless you're at Apple or Tim Cook? But you're held accountable. But this is ways that people can really bring that to life and speak to it in a way that's meaningful and measurable for them. And I think that also with these articles in the podcast or whatever it is that we're giving them, these platforms, those are great internal communications that they share as well. And we've worked with our clients in the day-to-day contacts to make sure that everyone understands what your CEO or your CMO, what they're thinking, because in many ways they're in the bubble there together. But when you see how it resonates and how it's explained, I think those are really interesting points that help, again, bring the person to life in a way that they probably don't see as much in the day-to-day.
Tell me more about that, because that's an interesting point. So you talked about like the internal communications. We were also talking about before the external, right? And PR as a whole, what do you see and believe that PR does for the company, for the brand, or for the individual? What are some of the core things you have seen achieved because of it?
Yeah, I think what's interesting too is PR has I think, a bigger seat at the table now. In the past, it was always where you had your ad agency, your media buying agency, maybe your branding agency, and then PR was like, oh, we should have an agency to get the word out. And now I think because you look at it, I think obviously economies of scale, you can do more with PR in many ways, and it can be more efficient that way. But also, as a partner from the branding and communication standpoint, we can help to connect to tell those stories. So be it a product launch, being able to give the insights and the availability, be it for measurement, for product reviews. I think also what we see is that PR gives a chance to help build the storytelling. And I think the storytelling is interesting because obviously the branding and the ad agencies and stuff have gotten it to a point, but that storytelling needs to go further than just a billboard or a print ad. So we can bring that storytelling to life, be it from product first. If you want to lead with, here's our innovation, here's our aspect, here's why it's different, better, good, all those things. But also then layer in the thought leadership of the CEO, the CMO, the brand managers, with each brand's a little different of who speaks to media. And we do a lot of media training as well. But I think that's where we've seen that really have an interesting play in the marketing matrix, if you will. In the past, like I said, it was a little different, but I think that's something that people have seen and experienced. And I think, look, even with AI, people are scared or weary of, okay, what is this going to do with, again, the creative or my ads, or the brand can just hire you or hire or use, I should say, an AI aspect to create some sort of artwork or brand overall or campaign. So I think that's where it's helped a lot and brought some of that synchronicity together. And also, I think the aspect of giving the product that sort of halo that then we can build stories around it. And it doesn't have to feel like it's out of just a playbook. Okay, the first day we do this, the second day we do this. It's more about you being unique to each brand. And I think working with the agencies, there's a lot of what we've heard. Again, we get brought on, a lot of PR agencies don't play nice with the other agencies. And I feel like that's the best thing to do is the client's a hero, but we should all be working together and look for those opportunities and how I can make your story be amplified even more. And then how we can look at it, and then you slice and dice. Is it about awards? Is it about the creative? Is it about getting interviewed in different ad week or whatever? So there's ways that I think are interesting that you just we've seen that, again, back to PR, what PR can do that really helps the greater good.
And that's so interesting what you mentioned about you some PR agencies not playing nice with other agencies. So we're very aligned on being a complementary agency and working together, especially with PR. So us as a LinkedIn agency and focused on LinkedIn, it's very complementary also specifically to PR, and they come in together. Can help get more PR, and once the PR is out, then to amplify it right through the thought leadership, through the executive, through the people. So it's definitely, I'm always surprised to hear, unfortunately, of agencies who don't know how to collaborate, work together, and we always put an emphasis to make it as easy as possible. You mentioned something storytelling and storytellers. I think recently in the news, it's been a big word and a big title. I think some companies are offering north of $400,000 a year, I think, for storytellers to tell better stories. So what are you seeing? What makes a good story or a good storyteller?
I think what's you look at it now, it's beyond sort of the influencer or beyond that sort of creator economy. It's really what these types of people can do to help bring that authenticity to the brands that it doesn't feel, because consumers now, again, they're getting pummeled through social media and just scrolling and seeing brands and just either right away making instant judgments. And that storytelling can really, I think, bring it to life in a way that feels more authentic and is also you're seeing it as the amplification of your own self. Oh, I could be doing that, or I could be in that brand, or I could use that brand. And I think that's an important factor that the storytelling can do. And also through PR and working with the other agencies, the storytelling can be connected. So there's no, you say it one way, I say it another way, and now the brand's confused. Wait, I read an article that said this, but then the ad says that. It's really making sure that storytelling has that sort of see-through line, and then with utilizing creators and utilizing people in a way that brings that authenticity to life, and that person isn't just one and done. We always talk about it can't feel like a marathon, a bib or a t-shirt where it has 50 brands and you don't know who's like the leader, who's there. It's more about what does this person feel and bring to life, and that it doesn't feel just they're just transactional. Okay, you paid me, I'm going to do this, sounds great, I'm on to the next thing.
Yeah, it really ties into a lot of things that we were talking about here, the relationships and long term. These aren't things, especially in a brand, that happen overnight. And to create the trust and credibility and authority, and to really to also stay top of mind, like you said, it's not just a one and done. It really requires to maintain consistency and to continue to be there and to appear in different places where our audiences are. But I think that really ties in together and takes a lot of the points that we were talking about. And super, super important. I'm really with you on that. As we look to wrap up, how does 2026 look for Blaze? What are some of the main things you guys are looking to achieve with the year ahead of us?
Yeah, I think it's been interesting, and I know you and I spoke earlier, but it's that we're seeing that sea change of, I think, brands and also companies just really look at doubling down investing into this year. I think there was some time maybe 6 months ago where it was very quiet time and uncertainties, but I think we've seen just that sort of from a PR standpoint, the opportunities to grow of different categories, so going in different spaces. Also, I think media has been more engaging now too. They've been more interested in telling those stories. I think maybe there was just an odd time, be it economy and everything. And I think also for us, we look at it, we map out our year with the different client trade shows because those are opportunities, those are markers in time for us. There's the natural product show that comes up. There's the automotive shows that are out there. So different ones that we can have an impact in, obviously for our brands, but also prospecting as well. You always want to, when you're out there, you're part of in that sort of fraternity of peoples. So that's a great way to meet people and see people in real life versus doing all the virtual stuff. And I think those have been opportunities where we're already setting appointments and getting ready to meet people in real life again, which I think is important. And I think the other thing is, back to the culture aspect, I think that's the thing that we really invest in. We talk about it, but we also do it and set out that year. How are we going to create these opportunities? So it doesn't become, we'll do it next month, or I saw you, three of you last week. That's good enough. It's now, how do we ensure and really invest in that culture standpoint? Because that's really what's going to help us grow is if the team's lock solid and everyone's moving in the right direction, I think that's an important factor, something we really hold true, I think, throughout the whole history of the brand.
Yeah, I love that. I can say also for us, we've been around for almost 6 years, and our employees, since we started hiring, it started me and my co-founder. Our average retention is around 3 years. Pretty much the employees that we started hiring
That's
three
awesome.
years ago are still with us, or maybe 3.5 years ago. And it's so important in the culture, and we see how it goes over the way that we treat our employees and treat our clients. We just sent out 150 gift boxes to our clients and partners and colleagues here out here. So also those like physical things, and not only the AI and technology. You mentioned the in-person events. I also see that. I agree with you. Like really, with all the AI and everything, we need that connection for relationships. I think that
Totally.
no matter where we go back in history or to your career or to your story, it came back also several times in this conversation, relationships. And no matter where we head with AI and all the different technologies and changes, people want to connect. And it's incredible that we have awesome platforms and other mediums to build those relationships. And even more so, those that are going to trade shows and to conferences. We're flying ourselves to a conference tomorrow. Create content there. Make sure that you're seen. Let people know that you're there. Amplify it on other platforms. LinkedIn, you mentioned it before, like thought leadership as a brand or as an individual. All of those things definitely need to continue to be there. Matt, this has been a great conversation. I appreciate your wisdom and your experience. For anyone who's looking to learn more about you, Blaze PR, follow you guys, where can they find you?
Yeah, I think easy obviously is our website, blazepr.com, and then on LinkedIn as well, you can find me. But yeah, I think this was great as well. I had a great time, great meeting and discussing all this stuff.
Awesome. Have an incredible 2026, and we will see you next time.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Category Leaders. If you are a B2B founder, executive, or leader with a story worth sharing, I'd love to have you on the show. Head to categoryleaders.team-maia.com to apply. Found value in this episode? Here's how you can help. Share it, take a screenshot, post it on LinkedIn, or send it to someone who needs to hear this. And if you know a leader who should be featured, tag them. I'd love to connect. Please subscribe to Category Leaders so you don't miss the next conversation. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn or visit team-maia.com to learn more about what we do. Thanks for being here. See you on the next episode.